She does terrific work covering so much for the CBS affiliate in Portland, KOIN Channel 6. She comes down to Eugene up in Seattle. Follow her on Twitter. Use the handle at AJ_McCord. Always great information and contact. We welcome AJ to the show. AJ, much appreciate the time. How are you doing during these, let's call them, most complicated times?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. First time guest. But yeah, I'm stoked we finally made it happen. And I'm doing well. I think, you know, as well as can be considered, I feel really grateful to be having live sports come back. We had so much football news this week. Which is very fun. But yeah, I'm doing well. How are you holding up, my friend?
We're holding up okay. Like you said, the word appreciative seems to be apropos. But it's funny that you and I were communicating back and forth what to discuss this week, then yesterday happened. So let's start there. Whether it's you as the media professional or the fan in you, just your initial reaction to Pac-12 football and basketball planning to return.
And it was a big week, and I think the Pac-12 deserves some credit here, because definitely better show up late and safe than never. Now, you can argue until the cows come home, what was the catalyst to the Pac-12 deciding to resume college sports before January 1st, whether that was because they have all these resources, including rapid COVID testing that they can do daily, or whether they felt pressured into it because everybody else was going to be playing college sports at the latest in October. And the Pac-12 was just, you know, feeling a little bit of the song starting to end with musical chairs and being left standing. So regardless, though, I think it's exciting that the Pac-12 is back. I actually talked to Rob Mullins, Mario Cristobal, Jonathan Smith, and the Oregon State guys as well. So that's what I spent my afternoon doing, was talking to these guys and finding out, how excited they are to be back and how ready they feel for football to be back.
No, I'm with you. I thought right and safe was better than quick and fingers crossed. Before we move along, a little AJ background for folks who might not be familiar with your story. So where do you hail from, and I guess kind of the path that led you to your current gig at KOIN?
Yeah. Originally born and bred a San Diego girl, and love the beach, love the ocean, love surfing. So I was into the outdoor world and sports world very, very early. I was a gymnast my entire life, and as I'm sure most people are aware, that's a sport with a very short shelf life. So by 16, I was pretty much well past my prime. So I did it for a few more years in high school, which was really fun, but ended up really falling in love with sports broadcasting at 16 years old. It was the first time I, like, very vividly remember sitting on the couch with my mom at Thanksgiving. We're watching football and seeing my first sideline reporter. I believe it was either Andrea Kramer or Alex Flanagan, and going, oh, that looks like a lot of fun. That looks like a lot of fun to be the one to talk sports. Like, here I am watching the game, and this woman just got a chance to talk to the players that I'm watching. Like, that's a cool job. So from there, I became very one-track minded. I went to school at Point Loma Nazarene, which is a small school in San Diego. I surfed, showed up for class occasionally, and did a lot of internships. So my first one was actually with Dick Enberg, who I hope your listeners know.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really fun. He was with the Padres at the time, and he became like a second grandpa to me. He was just the sweetest man that you could ever imagine, and the number of just like things that I look back on from that season with him, and the Dodgers came to town all the time, so it was, you know, him and Vin Scully, and it was just like, I just had to pinch myself that this was like who I got to learn from and who was encouraging me in this industry. And so I did that, went through college, was a whitewater rafting guide during the summer in college.
Nice.
Cause I like hit my limit of the number of internships that I was allowed to have by like my junior year. So, came back, worked for NBC San Diego my senior year, just writing, teleprompting, really unglamorous stuff. And then out of college, I got a job with Universal Sports, which is now the Olympic Channel. And as a gymnast, obviously, I was really excited to get involved with anything that had to do with Olympic sports. So moved to Colorado for a year, covered all of the qualifying events leading up to the 2014 Sochi Games. And then from there, went to Fayetteville, Arkansas to cover some SEC football. So I was the weekend sports anchor for the ABC affiliate in Fayetteville for nearly 3 years. And now just had my 3-year anniversary with Coin.
That's awesome. Fayetteville, yeah. Arkansas, Portland, Oregon. Yeah, they usually cross paths, especially culturally. I'm talking with AJ McCord of KOIN in Portland. Let's start with the Blazers, obviously living and working in the Rose City. Obviously, you know what that team means. They're the heartbeat of the sports community. And the regular season, let's face it, at best it was all over the place. Then they healed. They hit the bubble. Would I be accurate to say with the performance of Lillard and the Blazers, you really couldn't have expected much more, and it just was a fun run.
It was so much fun, and I think this was a team that left absolutely everything they had on the court, including Damian Lillard, to the point where he, you know, hurt himself, right. And then Yusuf Nurkic plays through the death of his grandmother. I mean, it was just Carmelo Anthony being a Blazer this past season is something that, like, you know, there are, like, players that you get really excited about getting the chance to cover, and Carmelo was one of those guys for me. And so, you know, pre-COVID, I got to be near him all the time. During COVID, it was a lot of Zoom, which is, I don't think any sports journalist will tell you that it's their favorite mode of covering these players. And but I'm grateful that there are a lot of sports to be covering them for. So yeah, it was a very fun bubble run, and the bubble continues. It's gonna burst for somebody here in the next few days with the conference finals wrapping up. But it was a fun team. It was the comeback kids. And it was a good run.
On another hoops note, I saw about a week and a half ago, you caught up with Sabrina, obviously a former Duck, current New York Liberty rookie. Great piece, folks, if you access AJ's Twitter feed. I guess share the story. I think it was worth repeating that kind of they're stubborn. You had Sabrina, Ruthie, and Satu there. And while they maybe weren't supposed to, they just couldn't help finding a way to hang out.
Right. I mean, you think about how this ended, right? And for these Ducks, they cut down the net in Vegas, and they're thinking, we'll be right back, and we're going to go on a March Madness run that no one will ever be able to forget. And then instead, it ends. It's like the most anticlimactic ending to what has been just the most historic run that Oregon women's basketball has ever seen. And so these three girls have been through it all together. And so, yeah, Sabrina said, you know, the rules in the bubble, as it were equally as strict as they are in the bubble. And so you're not supposed to really fraternize with anybody outside of your team. But Sabrina kind of said, you know, we sat outside, we, you know, sat 6 feet apart, and we were like, we've all been tested, it's fine. So it was fun to hear how their friendships have maintained. And now, I mean, Satu just had such an incredible rookie season, and so heartbreaking for Sabrina to end the way it did. But it was really interesting, Steve, because I was thinking about, you know, when I talked to her, I said it would make sense if she was a little bit bitter, right? Like, this year, from the eyes of Sabrina Ionescu, has just been so difficult. And not that it's been easy for anybody, but you think about her losing Kobe and Gianna, who the Bryants are like family to her. Right. And then not only losing them, but having to process that grieving in front of the entire world while trying to do something historic with her college team, only to have that get canceled. And then she goes to the WNBA, and that's supposed to be it. And then she gets hurt. And so I was expecting a stoic Sabrina, because she tends to be that way, but she sounded very peaceful as well. And like, that was something that was really good to hear after covering her for so many years. You know, I hurt for how her college career ended, and it was nice to catch up with her and hear her excited about different things and see her on TikTok with, with the Bryant family still, so it was a lot of fun.
No, she's incredibly unique, and I've always said, and I'm way older than you, one of the easiest athletes I've come across to root for. So, yeah. Well, let's talk about the trip you made on Sunday for Seattle and New England, and of course, you've attended games here at Autzen. You just mentioned where you've gone. You've been at the Rose Garden, and the crowd is always such a key passionate part of the game. And then a game like this, national TV, the Sunday nighter, no fans. AJ, what was that like?
It was so bizarre. That's like the synonym that I went to, because I feel like I've overused weird to describe Sunday's atmosphere. But it was bizarre, because I've covered a good number of games at CenturyLink Field. I've covered away games. I covered the Chargers, Broncos. I went to the Packers-Seahawks game this past postseason. And, you know, I kept getting texts from friends that were like, is it really that loud there? Because the audio over the broadcast is not what you hear in the stadium. So I took a video and I sent it to my husband and a few friends. And I was like, no, this is what it sounds like. And it is like, I mean, it's like background noise. Like, I could have the volume on in this office, the same level the Seahawks had it in CenturyLink Field, and I don't know that you would be able to hear it during this interview. And it was just crazy to be there, and especially when the game comes down to the last second. I mean, I think it was LJ Collier after the game, who, of course, he made the game-saving tackle, and he was like, you know, I'm pretty sure Seattle would still be shaking if there had been fans in the field, in the stadium for that last game. And I was like, You're absolutely right. There is no doubt whatsoever. And there were moments that I would be like live tweeting, or, you know, Justin Herbert was making his debut, so I was kind of trying to get on his Zoom call at the beginning of the Seahawks game, and I would hear something, and I would think that that meant something happened in the game, but it didn't. You know, like, it was like the sound was even off a little bit on, like, it wasn't a cheer, or like a raise in volume didn't necessarily mean something happened on the field, which was like just bizarre is my go-to word.
No, and like I keep saying that, I know we're getting a different feel at home because we hardly notice, so good job by the networks, albeit not very accurate. All right. couple final thoughts for AJ McCord of KOIN Sports in Portland. One thing I absolutely have to get to, a sideline here. I've seen some of the pictures you posted. My wife and I are big dog lovers. She's a dog walker, and we have a doggy business. And I see your little beauty, who you adopted and gave your forever home. What was her name? What kind of dog is that?
Her name is Scarlett. She is a good old Arkansas mutt. We have no idea what is in her. We've never gotten her tested, but she was left in a box on the side of the road in Arkansas, and at the time we were looking... I was looking for a dog. My husband and I were just dating at the time, so it was a me decision. He'll be quick to point out. But she's amazing. She's just like the sweetest thing ever, and she's such a good little hiker, which is one of my favorite parts of living in Oregon, that we just have so many beautiful places to explore. I've had her for 5 years now, and she's a little champ. She goes with me everywhere and doesn't conk out until we get to where we're going.
That's awesome. No, we do our pet of the week here with our local Humane Society, and we're always trying to get doggies their forever home. So well done there. And lastly, back to the Seahawks. You know, I saw you post what some of the guys had to say, Bobby Wagner, Coach Carroll, the losses on defense. I mean, Bruce Irvin done for the year, pass rusher, their starting safety, Marquise Blair. What's the word about that impact, especially to a defense that, let's be kind, has been less than stout?
Yes. So the loss of those two is massive. You're going to see some rookies getting a lot of playing time for the Seahawks this weekend against the Cowboys, including Alton Robinson and Jordan Brooks. And, you know, we talked to Bobby, and he said the thing that people are going to really see about Jordan Brooks is his speed. They're going to really notice his speed. And the other person who's going to get a little bit more playing time is Ugo Amadi. He came in towards the end of the game, or when Bruce Irvin went down, he came in. And so we'll see a lot of him. And I wasn't able to get on the call with Shaquille Griffin yesterday, but I read that he wrote some very kind things about Ugo, and I know from covering Ugo at Oregon and then from talking to him in his rookie year with the Seahawks, he's ready for this opportunity. And so this week there's going to be a few young guys who get that opportunity, and it's just going to be so critical. Because similarly to Cam Newton, if Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott gets ahead of steam, it is going to be so difficult to slow them down. And so really important to meet them at the line, really important to make sure they don't get that full head of steam, so you stop them quickly. And it's certainly been a point of focus for the Seahawks this week ahead of the Cowboys coming to town.
All right, folks, she's AJ McCord doing terrific work covering the gamut of sports for KOIN Channel 6 in Portland. Follow her on Twitter. Use the handle at AJ_McCord. She'll keep you wired into a lot. AJ, really, really appreciate your time and insight. Be well, be safe, and, of course, definitely look forward to catching up soon. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. You have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Take care.